everybody. Welcome to the Little Steps podcast. I'm Rekha Shankar. And today we're going to be sitting down with Matt Zapp, an animator and comic strip artist. He runs a super funny weekly comic at eatthattoast.com and has done some really cool animations for people like Mike Birbiglia. He did one of Kate McKinnon for a story she told at the Upright Citizens Brigade show, Animated Stories. And he even did a bunch for the improv festival, the Del Close Marathon, which runs yearly at the UCB Theater in New York. He also did that Star Trek animation for Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad is like the best show on television. So let's meet him. So hi everyone, I am here with Matt Zapp, animator, illustrator, and comic strip artist.
Hi.
Hello Matt.
Hi Rekha, how you doing?
Good, I'm great. Thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, so welcome, so welcome. So you've done a ton of different stuff under like the heading of like drawing and animation. How did you discover that that's what you liked to do?
It's kind of one of those things when I was a small child, it's just something that was more enjoyable than anything else. Like just drawing cartoons and doing fun stuff like that, it didn't seem like I wanted to do anything else. Like, it was just like, why would I want to when, you know, you can draw anything and make people laugh and, you know, do fun stuff like that.
And did you know that that was like an option when you were younger?
Yeah, I always felt like, because I could, you see cartoons on TV, so you're like, somebody had to do those.
Right. What were some of your favorite cartoons?
Growing up, I remember, I liked a show called Freakazoid, because it was like a really silly cartoon. I liked Rocko's Modern Life. I loved The Simpsons. That's a show that was just like, I'm realizing now is a lot smarter than you realize when you watch it as a kid, because I was really young and my mom didn't want me watching it, but we really enjoyed it, so just loved it.
Yeah. And did you, like, so when you were younger, you knew you wanted to do something relating to that, relating
yeah.
to drawing?
Yeah. When I was younger, I remember having three distinct goals. One of them was being, like, a cartoonist and sort of, like, or voiceover actor. The other was working as, like, I wanted to be on the radio. And then the third one was bus driver. Why? School bus driver.
Why school bus driver?
Because I was really fascinated with the way that the doors opened, like the mechanism. It was like really cool to me. And I've worked in radio and I've done cartoons. I haven't been a school bus driver yet, but I did when I was young sneak into one and lock myself into it.
Oh, nice. Well,
I was very young, so.
Actualizing the dream.
So I feel like at this point, I've achieved most of my dreams.
Cool. Did animating seem feasible to you at that point?
No. I mean, when I was younger, because computers weren't really a thing, or like computer animation was a thing, and you couldn't do it yourself. So I always knew that you had to go to art school, and I would check out animation books from the library on how to animate. And the actual, like, process of how they used to do things, they used to have these things called, like, exposure sheets, and you'd have to, like, time each frame and, like, the sound, and it looks so complicated and awful that it's something that I kind of realized that, like, oh, I'm probably not going to do this professionally. But then when, like, with Adobe Flash, like, I got that program, and it was, like, suddenly I could do everything myself. And it didn't have to be like this huge production, and I could actually, you know, make animations by myself.
So like software sort of made it less intimidating?
Yeah. It was kind of like the, you know, like you could publish all this stuff yourself. Like I guess it was a pretty big revolution in animation. I don't need an animation team now. I could just do it all myself.
Yeah.
Although it is a lot harder to do it all yourself than with
yeah.
a team.
Totally. I mean, did you...
It's better to work with people.
Do you work with people a lot, or do you mostly work by yourself?
Now I do. I have a job where I work with people on, like, it's not, like, cartoon animation, but it's motion design. So I only have to do, like, a part, like, my part, and then everybody else, and it contributes to, like, a bigger thing.
Right.
Which is a lot more satisfying.
Right. What did you study in college?
In college, I majored in studio art. So, it was like one of those I forget what the kind of college. It was just like a liberal arts college, I guess. I got like an all-around education, took classes in like physical geography and took music classes and all that stuff. But I focused on art and art history. And that was the only thing that seemed that interesting that I really wanted to do.
Yeah. And like, did you, I guess going a little bit back, when you got like Flash and all that stuff, was that when you were in high school or was that?
That was just I was out of high school. Before that, I had, the only way that I could animate was through flipbooks. So when I remember starting in like, I was in fifth grade and I used to draw on the margins of my notebooks and I'd draw little flip things. And I'd always hope that the teachers would kind of see that and be like, wow, this kid's really cool or special or something. And like somehow that would maybe ease up on me not being good at other things. But, and then out of high school, I downloaded Flash and started using that and started making cartoons and publishing them on the internet.
Cool. And how did you hear about, like, Flash and all these other things? Like, how did you keep aware of developments in animation?
I was a big old nerd for a long time. So I had the internet before a lot of people, like, sort of in the early internet. Not, like, super early. Not, like, the 80s, but, like, you know, the AOL, like that kind of stuff. And it used to be called Shockwave.
Right.
This is, like, really nerdy. And it was, like, a plug-in, and you could play, like, games, and that was cool. And I forget how I heard about downloading it. I don't remember. Somehow I just, like, downloaded it. And I had it for a couple months, and I didn't know how to use it because it was, like, really intimidating. So it just sort of, like, sat there. And but I don't remember how I heard about it originally. I mean, other than just, like, knowing about the Flash player, because it's been around a while.
Yeah, so I guess then, like, when you downloaded it and you said you let it sat there, like, what finally prompted you to, like, start using it?
I remember kind of, like, trying to use it and, like, not being successful at it. And, like, I just couldn't figure out how to do it myself. Like, that was, I would, like, try to make an animation and, like, it wouldn't turn out right. Like, the pictures would disappear.
Right.
And be like, this is stupid. So you just, like, give up on it. But for some reason, I kept going back to it.
Yeah.
And kept trying it. And I'm glad I did because it's helped my career. It's given me an actual skill.
Yeah.
That's marketable.
Yeah, totally.
Which is nice.
Yeah. And like you said something kept you going back to it. What was that?
I think it was just that I wanted to make cartoons. I think the desire to make the cartoons kept me like, I got to try this to see if I can do it. Because you see like other people do it. You're like, it can be done.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know I can do this.
Yeah.
So I think it just like sort of eventually just sort of really work through it and figure out how to actually tween something, which sounds stupid now. Like it would be so simple, but like back then it just didn't make sense.
Sure. I mean, you seemed very self-taught in that program.
Yeah, it was all self-taught.
Yeah.
I didn't go to school. I just went for a general like studio degree. So I didn't, and they didn't even have a digital program when I went there. And they only started implementing one as I left.
Yeah. Where did you go again?
I went to University of Mary Washington. It's in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Okay.
So at that time, they didn't have, I mean, this is still, when did they start? Probably up until like 2006 is when they didn't like, you know, they didn't have like a digital program at all. And they just started implementing them. So they were a little slower. And like, I kind of had to learn all this stuff on my own, like how to do Photoshop and all that stuff as well.
And were you intimidated by those programs, too?
Yeah, at first they're very intimidating because they're big and, like, you hear that professional people use them, then get used to it.
Yeah.
And Photoshop is less intimidating, I think. It's easier to use. It's, like, more straightforward.
And it sounds like, too, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, like, kind of getting through one program might, like, instill the knowledge that, like, I can work through these other programs. Like, I taught myself how to use one thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Once you crack through that, like, oh, I did this and it's possible, then you're like, oh, I can do anything.
Right. Cool. Actually, going back, what was the first, like, animation you remember doing? Like, a flipbook or was it something else?
I remember doing, we had, like, these vocabulary books. And I remember because they were like thin enough. They were like a good size for a flip book. They were like just thin enough. and the pages, you know, where they flipped nice. So I'd do like Stickman ones.
Yeah.
And how do you do them? I think you'd start, I'd start from the beginning, but you'd start at the back. I forget how I did them, but how I did it was I remember drawing with like a ballpoint pen, and then the next, yeah, you'd do front to back. And then the next one, you would see like the indentation. So it'd be like what now I would know as like onion skinning.
Right.
Which is like where you can see the next frame.
Yeah.
So you could see where you drew, so then you could draw the next like location. And then you just, you draw that. So that's, I still have some of those.
Yeah. And that like idea of sort of teaching yourself onion skinning, because that's like a term used in like Photoshop and other programs like that. Mm. How did you figure that out? Just like by like kind of researching animation and like...
Well, yeah, in Flash they have like a button that's like, click here to turn on the onion skinning. You turn it on and be like, it shows you the next two frames and the past two frames. And you're like, oh, that's what that's called. Oh. And you realize you're like, oh, that has a name.
Right. And I guess like when you were, before you even knew that that was like, I guess the very first time you drew a flip book.
Yeah.
You know, I guess how do you like... conceptualize like what you're supposed to do?
I guess you don't really, I guess you just go for it.
Right.
I don't remember exactly. I mean, I would get checkout books from the library, so they'd tell you like how to do the very simple stuff, like you could make the zoetrope, and you know, I forgot I also got really into animation when I'm from the DC area, and they have a children's museum there. And they had this exhibit. I don't know if it's still there, but they had it for the longest time. It was like a Chuck Jones and animation exhibit. And we would go there occasionally, and they had like tables set up where you could like make your own cell and stuff. And they had the history of animation and all this stuff. So I remember like getting educated from that, like learning how to do the basic stuff.
Okay, that's...
Like that was... I forgot about that.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's something happened.
My entire...
Oh, yeah, my entire day.
So then when you did your... Do you remember what your first Flash project was?
My first... Oh, yeah, I do. I made this sort of, like, cartoon, and I had this blue monster guy, and he was, like, kind of really sad, and he was going to kill himself. And then his his guardian angel comes down, and he's like, don't kill yourself. This is what your life would be like if... this is what life would be like if you weren't around, and life is just like a dance party, and it's like great.
Isn't that the plot of It's a Wonderful Life? Like the exact.
Is it?
No.
Because then he kills himself at the end.
Oh, okay.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh. But it's like this like disgusting angel. He's like, just everything about this guy's life is disgusting. And I remember showing it to somebody, being real proud, and they were like, they asked if I needed help. They were like, are you all right? I was like, no, it's funny. And they were like, I think there's something wrong with you. Like, in the set, like, they're like, are you all right? But, like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, that actually brings me to my next question, because, like, I think you do have a distinct style, like, animation-wise and then, like, writing-wise. Like, how did you develop that?
Like, distinct style, like...
I guess first we can start with just, like, your drawing style, like...
Yeah. I was... It was, like, early, because I remember, I know that when I was in high school, I got really into anime and manga, like, the Dragon Ball stuff, and this was, like, right as it was sort of becoming, like, a big phenomenon, but I was really into, like, the guy who draws that.
Yeah.
His name is Akira Toriyama, and he had a style that was just, like, it just felt good to me. You know, when you see something, you're just, like, you feel warm and fuzzy, and you're like, oh, that feels good. You're just like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's just something about, you get like nice round eye, like big eyes on the characters, but not like that anime where they're like huge.
Yeah.
But they're like nice. They're like a nice, decent size.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
But not too big.
Not too big.
I don't know. They just looked fun and like cartoony.
Yeah.
So I guess I just emulated that for a long time and eventually let it sort of become its own thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And then take from, like, different things that I like.
Yeah.
You
know. And I guess before that, like, was it kind of just, like, a trial and error process of, like, you draw something, you see if you like it.
Yeah.
And move on?
Yeah, it's more like you just sort of try. You just sort of, like, try and do whatever.
Yeah.
It's not great, but, you know. Takes a long... I mean, nothing... I'm saying things... Nothing that I did probably before 5 years ago looked good. at all.
Yeah.
So.
And did you, do you think you were, like, aware of that? Like, did you feel like it, like, didn't look good? Or did you feel like, hey, this looks pretty good, and then looking back, you were like, oh, no.
There's, like, a part of you that knows it doesn't look good, or, but, like, then a part of you that's like, oh, this is good for me. Like, you kind of have to tell yourself, you're like, oh, I know this is as good as I can do now, but you just have to keep trying to get to the point that you want to be right. good. Because, yeah, there is some part of you that's like, this is not as good. This
yeah.
is, like, kind of bad. But you have to kind of tell yourself that it's good enough for what you're doing.
Right.
Like, you can't physically do better.
Sure, like, so. Cutting yourself slack or, like, setting reasonable
yeah,
goals.
Or it's like, yeah, this is, like, really wonky looking, but I will keep trying.
Exactly. And I guess, sort of to speak to that, did you find yourself comparing yourself to others a lot, like your peers that also did drawing and animation, or were you kind of more like tunnel vision?
I guess not until, like, I started publishing cartoons on the internet. In, like, 2002, I started a webcomic. And then it was a lot easier to, like, compare to people, and it's, you start being like, oh, why am I not getting as good, or why am I not as good as this person? And you start to see people who are much younger than you, and they're just, like, amazing, and you're just like, why?
Yeah.
Why am I not that good? Why am I terrible? Why am I so old and terrible?
Well, how do you, like, deal with those kind of thoughts?
I guess you have to, like, I guess you just have to lie to yourself. I don't know, lie to yourself, but just sort of, like, you have to realize that it doesn't matter, or that if you want to, you can. It's just going to take a different, it's going to take longer, or it's going to, I don't know, you just have to take a different path than them. You have to realize that.
Yeah.
Coming to terms with not caring with other people is, like, a great thing. When you finally realize, you're like, oh, I don't care about how good this person is doing. That's great for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, kind of really only focusing on your own process and your own progress.
Yeah. You kind of just have, you do have to, like, tunnel vision it a little bit.
Yeah.
But you also have to not be so, that's also, I've always, like, worried about that. When you don't want to become so tunnel vision that you shut everyone else out, and you, like, become immune to criticism, where you're like,
right.
You're like, I'm great, I'm so good, but maybe you're doing some really stupid, shitty stuff.
Sure, like, to the point where you can't learn anymore.
Yeah.
You think you're done learning.
Yeah. That's always scary when you're, it's like, am I going to feel that way, where I feel like, oh, I'm the best I can be?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you ever can. I mean, I don't know. Can you ever reach a point where you're the best?
Well, I don't personally think so. I think there's always, like, more stuff you can try, or more things you can mix. Like, that whole, like, what, postmodern philosophy that, like, once all the ideas exist, you can just, like, mix them and make new ideas.
Yeah, remix.
Yeah, remix.
We're going to go girl talk after we
could
all do the best we can.
Yeah, go to girl talk. So, actually, do you mind if I move this? Just because I don't want to, like, create noise.
Sure.
Cool.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. Get the fuck out. Okay. So what was the first... Let me actually backtrack. When you got to school, you said you did studio art.
Yeah.
How did you sort of foray that into, like, animating and drawing and illustrating? Because from my understanding, studio art is, like very, like, serious, like...
Yeah. It's a very traditional... They were, like, a very traditional program. It's, like, you know, painting and ceramics, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to, like, force what I wanted to do into the classes. Like, in ceramics, I made things that I wanted to make, like characters and stuff. And in sculpture, I did sort of the same thing. And painting, I did... I had a drawing class where, for my final, I was able to do an animation. I did, because that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And the teacher let me... They were, like, encouraging.
That's good.
About that. And that was good. And then I did an independent study on like a comic book that I made.
Yeah.
So I was able to work what I wanted to do in there. Like, luckily they were sort of like changing from being less stuffy and like traditional to more open to new things, which is good.
Yeah.
So.
And do you remember, like, after graduating, what the first project you did after that was?
After I graduated, I don't think I had projects. What happened? I guess I moved to Richmond. I didn't have work for, like, a year. I didn't get anything. And then I guess the Mike Birbiglia cartoon that I did was the first one that I did. And that was, like, a big thing.
Yeah. Talk me through that. Like, how did you... Well, firstly, in this year where you didn't have anything, like, what were you doing then?
Oh, I was just looking for work.
Yeah.
Looking for, like, a real job and also other jobs and just not finding them. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It was during that, like, recession time. So I finally did get work, and it was, like, a pizza delivery job. And they told me that, like, 300 people had applied for it. That's how bad the economy was at this time, that 300 people applied for one pizza delivery job.
Jesus.
Somehow, I got it.
You nailed it.
I nailed it somehow. I don't know how.
Wow.
So, and then I started getting, like, work, and it was, like, a good, I had, like, a part-time thing, and then I also was drawing when I'd get home, like, doing animations and stuff, so.
So were you putting out, like, the drawing opportunities you were getting, is it because you put stuff out, like feelers, or was this from, like, previous jobs you had applied to?
I had seen, because I had been, all throughout college, I had been drawing and doing, like, my own animations and posting them online. I had, like, built up, you know, like, a portfolio of stuff. So then when I got out, I had eventually seen that he was, like, some website had posted that, oh, this comedian is looking for an animator. And I had heard of him. And this is like a couple years before his movie came out.
Yeah.
But I had heard of him, and I was like, okay, I'll contact this guy. And I got in touch with, like, his manager, and they were like, yeah, we like your stuff. We'll send you the tracks to this thing we're working on, and we'll pick one out, and then, like, you can animate it and pretty much have, like, free reign to sort of do whatever you want to sort of, like, do an animation to it. And I was like, oh, that's really fun. So I did that, and it was fun. I did a couple of them for him because they liked them.
Yeah.
And I got paid for it.
Nice.
Which is awesome. It was incredible. It was, like, one of those things where, like, I just got paid to do something really cool.
Yeah.
And it was fun. And then that led to something else, and then it just kept rolling from there. So that was, like, the sort of start of all the work. It's weird how that stuff sort of, like, snowballs into other stuff.
Yeah.
It just keeps rolling.
Going to your webcomic, are you talking about Eat That Toast?
I started doing that. That's, like, a different thing. All right. So that was the animation stuff.
Yeah.
I did that. And then I got some work from this company doing, like, sort of educational animations that explained how energy stuff works. And then at that same time, I also started the webcomic,
yeah.
Eat That Toast. So I started that as kind of, like, also exercise. Because in 2002, I started a webcomic. And that ran for a couple of years, for like 2 or 3 years. And we did that, like, I think every day at some point, or at least like 3 times a week. And that was like, it's just like really good practice to just constantly be doing something.
Yeah.
So I had wanted to, like, restart doing that just to keep drawing, like, my drawing at least, you know, fresh. And, like, another outlet for writing jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I started that. And originally I started out as, like, a black and white sort of 3-panel thing. I don't know, you know why I originally started it? Was because the Washington Post had this contest where they were, like, looking for, the contest was called the Next Greatest Cartoonist. And they were, like, you would submit, like, 5 sort of newspaper-style strips. And I submitted them. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll win, but I'll, you know, I want to try this out. And so I did that, and they didn't even put me on like the list of like they showed like a bunch of like submissions that were like, hey, these were also pretty good, and they didn't even put me on there. And that like in I felt so enraged, yeah. Which is like stupid because the newspaper is like a dying newspaper. Comics are dying and dumb, and like I only say that because I really wanted to be. I also really wanted to be in the newspaper when I was a kid. Because you go and you read the newspaper every day, and you're like, oh, this is how I get a comic.
Yeah.
I go, you know, you gotta go to the newspaper, and then everyone will see your comics. And like now, that's not true. If you want to draw a comic, you just go online and do it yourself.
Right.
And you don't have to have a stupid middleman taking
right.
out money or whatever. So I did that. Didn't win. I was furious that that one of the finalists was like so terrible. One of the finalists was like so bad, like in their style, and like they weren't funny. It was like very amateur. And clearly, they had picked one person to win over these like other finalists.
Right.
And I was just like, this thing is rigged. This thing is, yeah. you know, it's terrible. So I just decided to start publishing them myself.
Yeah.
And I just started doing that like three times a week. And, you know, that's how that started.
And how did you like figure out, because it was an online comic, how did you like figure out all that? Like, did you have your own domain name? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I had Eat That Toast years before.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to like sort of make an animations and comic website. And then I forgot to renew it once and I lost the domain for several years. And then one day I had sort of checked and like, and it said in a month it would be available. So I was able to snatch it back up again.
Yeah.
And so I got that and I was like, I'm going to do something with it this time.
Yeah.
So I started posting them on there. And you can just come up, it's just like a WordPress blog.
Okay.
With like a comics add-on.
Cool.
That knows how to like process comics and stuff.
Cool.
So yeah.
So that was the portfolio you sort of had in your arsenal when applying to do the Mike Birbiglia animation.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. There's also a website called Newgrounds that I used to post to.
Yeah.
That was like before I had my own website.
Yeah.
It was sort of like this website where you can upload a video and people will rate it like 1 to 5.
Yeah.
If it's below like a 2, it gets deleted. So it's kind of like you have to do something good.
Yeah.
Or just barely tolerable.
Yeah.
To get onto it. But I did stuff that was also, that was like good. And like if it's in like the top 5 submissions for the day, you get like highlighted on a page.
Nice.
So I used to do that. And that sort of was like my portfolio for a while. So I have like a bunch of old cartoons on there.
Cool.
That did fairly well.
Awesome. Yeah. And so the Mike Birbiglia thing was like a big first step into like kind of snowballing and getting paid to
yes.
actually draw stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was your next, first for your application to like, or for actually drawing the stuff you had to draw based on their tracks, like where did you kind of generate your ideas? And did you feel like nervous? Because this was like kind of like a big client.
Yeah, there's also, I felt nervous because I'm like, if they don't like what I have, it's annoying to have to go back and change it.
Yeah.
When they did want to like have stuff sort of like changed or whatever, like it was usually like reasonable enough. Like
yeah.
sometimes I would push a little bit and they'd be like, let's not show a guy's butt for that long.
Right.
something like that.
Yeah.
But usually it wasn't that bad. And I usually just generate the ideas from like, I let it play and I sort of just watch it in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds just like,
no.
Oh, I can already see it in my mind. I'm just like drawing.
No, that's,
like
that's
a weird way.
Great. And I guess like in those moments where it's like, okay, like I'm drawing this for like, it's like a big deal or a bigger deal. How do you like kind of either push that aside or like allow that to like fuel you instead of like hinder you?
I guess it's like it's good fuel for like getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's times when if you don't know what to do, you don't want to do it. Or you're like, well, I'm not going to make the deadline. I'm going to fail.
Right.
But you're like, no, I got to push through it and do it. I don't know. I guess at that point it didn't seem like as big stake. It didn't seem like a big stakes thing.
Yeah.
'Cause it was, he was not like that big of a comedian at the time.
Right.
He'd sort of had like his online blog and like 2 albums out.
Yeah.
And maybe he'd been on NPR like once or twice.
Yeah.
But now it would feel much bigger stakes if it was like somebody like that.
Right.
Be like, oh, it's like a big thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of which, I mean, you do a lot of stuff that's bigger stakes now. Like, you did the very viral Breaking Bad animation.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Like, how did that happen?
That was also big stakes. That happened because a year prior, I had done videos with UCB.
Yeah.
And they had partnered with Vulture. And they did these kind of, like, videos where they got celebrities talking about their other encounters with, like, celebrities that they admired, like sort of their heroes or just like run-ins with other people. And it was half of it was them talking, and then it was the animated parts were like showing their interactions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had done that, and like they were pleased with it. And then just sort of out of the blue, I got an email from the guy, from this guy, and he's like, "We liked your animations. We have the screener for Breaking Bad. There's a scene we want you to animate. We think it would be good as an animation."
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. My initial instinct was to just reject it because I don't watch Breaking Bad. Mm. I've seen like 2 episodes and I liked it. I didn't hate it, but I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it. So, and then they said it was also about Star Trek, and I was like, oh, I don't know anything about Star Trek either.
Yeah.
So, but I gave it a listen and I liked it and I thought it was like good. I was like, oh, this is really funny.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have watched. It wasn't, like, referential to the show.
Sure.
Which is why I did it. So, and that also, they gave that, they only gave that to me, like, how many, I don't know, only a couple weeks before it was due.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of time to do it.
Yeah.
So that was high stakes, because that had, like, a hard deadline, because they wanted to get that out, because they were like, somebody else is going to do this. You got to do it first.
Exactly.
Basically just had to work all night and day to get that done.
So in kind of taking a step back, like you said, you got that kind of through networking with people at the Upright Citizens Brigade that had had you do videos.
Yeah. So I had, you know, it all, you know, sort of started Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
And then like eventually I, did Animated Stories, which was a show that Todd Bieber ran at the theater, which once a month somebody would tell a story live and then it'd be animated in a month. And I wanted to do that when I first got here, but I didn't have time because I had like other work. So I finally had like a month that I did that. And like that was, and then that led into the Vulture thing, because then they were like, oh, we want you for this project, like to do this. And then from that, they wanted, Vulture wanted me to do the other thing.
Yeah. So.
And now I might have other stuff from the Vulture, like the big and bad thing, because I got a lot of emails. I got a lot of terrible emails, but I also got some interesting emails.
That's
from
awesome. And going back to when you started doing animated stories, because you said you had always wanted to do that. Did they like pay you to do it? Or
no.
Okay. So my next question is like how rectify that?
That was like I got here. I was like, oh, I want to do this show. Because it's like right up my alley, animation, and I felt like I could do the best one. I was like, oh, I can do the best one they've seen.
Yeah.
But because it didn't pay, it was like I couldn't justify doing it because I need to do like real work first.
Yeah.
So there was a month when I finally was able to do it.
Like you just had to
like
slow
schedule. Yeah. Month. Like I had a month open and I was good financially, so I was like, I'll do it. And the guest, one of the guests, was Kate McKinnon.
Nice.
And I was like, I had seen her and she was like super, I thought she was like super funny.
Yeah.
And she told like a really funny story and I was like, that's what I wanted to draw that. It was another thing where she told it and I could see it in my head as she was saying it. So I was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So it was like, you have to like pick and choose sometimes because you're like, oh, I won't get paid, but this will be really good because it'll be fun and it might lead to something else.
Yeah. That's awesome. So cool. So that led to Vulture, led to potentially more interesting and or bad emails that you got.
Yeah. Oh, so many bad emails.
What are some of the bad emails you get?
If somebody just emails you and they're like, hey, I have an idea, here it is. And like, that's always bad. I know at like networks and stuff, they don't read those emails because of like liability things.
Yes.
Makes me nervous too. But I'm pretty sure that this, it was just like some idea for a show that I had never seen.
Yeah.
It was like, there's a bunch of zombies and like they're walking around and then it was some like really innocuous thing happened and I didn't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Like, and then something happens and then that's the end. And I didn't want to like write, I didn't know whether to write back, this is terrible work. I don't know how to respond in that, just to be honest or nice. Or,
yeah.
I guess you don't have to be mean.
Right.
But to say, like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I guess you could just be nice. I didn't respond.
I mean, you know.
I don't know. I didn't want to, because, I don't know, that guy could be good. He might just be, like, a young person, like a kid, you know, with, like, an idea.
Right.
I'm sure I probably did that. I probably, like, emailed people, was like, hey, I'm, you know, some stupid thing.
But it's the economy of your time, you know. If they had said something that, like, piqued your interest, I'm sure it would have been, like, less stupid email.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, yeah, and a lot of people just being like, hey, I don't have a lot of money, but do you want to do this thing? And it's like, I can't.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And I guess in terms of, like, because on this side we're kind of talking about, like, you getting to, like, pick and choose sort of the projects you're interested in, which is awesome and like the ideal. But what about being on the other end of like having your own ideas like kind of bat down? Like, how do you deal with that?
That's what I'm trying to do now.
Yeah.
Is like, next I want to do something on my own. Originally, one of my 2013 goals was make something for yourself, like an animation for yourself, because I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
And I want to do that. So I'm finally working on this thing with somebody else. We're trying to get a cartoon produced.
Nice.
We want to get something produced. They have it. It's based on a show that they wrote, and I saw it and I was like, oh, this would work really well as like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, I got really excited about it, so we're gonna try and produce that, and then see what happens from there.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get that done, but it's like difficult to balance all that stuff.
Of course.
So
I mean,
much stuff.
Yeah, it's like a pilot, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, yeah, I guess it's probably about as much work as a pilot.
Yeah.
Even though it'll probably only be like 2-minute things.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I guess animated pilot compared to like, you know, live action pilot. I don't even, can't even conceptualize.
I don't know. Which one do you think is harder? Because
well, you know, on the one hand, for a live-action pilot, you're coordinating people and bodies a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, you have giant sets and, like, that, but then animation.
It takes a lot less time to do live.
Yeah, because as you say, animation, anything you want, you have to create it. And you have to, like, you know, it's just the brain power, and you probably have fewer people.
Yeah.
Especially because a lot of those things are not necessarily paid or paid well. So getting someone, hey, can you animate like this 23-minute show for free? Bye. Probably doesn't happen.
No, I can't imagine anybody would ever ask 23.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably happened. There's probably a website with like you've seen those websites where it's like nightmare freelance work.
Oh,
and it's
yeah, those are hilarious.
They're always like, hey, could you do this for me and tell me how you did it, and then I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah, bye.
See ya.
Yeah, I always get the ones that are like, I need a video person. Shoot, produce, edit, film, sound. Like, yo, that's like 7 different jobs. Like, okay, not working on this. I guess in the past then, like, have you done kind of your own, because you said, like, you haven't done it for yourself in a while. Have you, like, done projects for yourself and, like, not had the response you wanted? Basically, just, like, this kind of just a question about dealing with rejection in a field, like, you so want to be in.
Yeah, I guess there's, like, when you do stuff for yourself, like, what was the last thing I did? I can't remember. I guess in a way, like, you always kind of feel rejected if it's not, like, intensely popular.
Sure.
Like, the Breaking Bad thing was probably one of the most popular things that I've done.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't feel that rejected by it. I guess I feel okay with it.
We've had this viral video that went fucking insane on All websites, yes.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I guess there's stuff like put out, and I've put out cartoons on Eat That Toast, and they don't. I sometimes can gauge by like Tumblr, because I post them on Tumblr, and Tumblr can be like a, I don't know if it's like the best, but like sometimes it is. Like sometimes it'll just get like no response. Like they'll mm-hmm. be like 10 notes, and I'm like, oh, I guess this comic was terrible. And then either like a month later, somebody will reblog, like the right person will reblog it, and then mm-hmm. everybody will see it, yeah. and then they'll be really into it, and it'll get like a bunch of likes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's hard to judge. It's hard to judge how good something is, or like, you know, because sometimes people just don't see it.
Right. Like how you can't use likes necessarily as a gauge of whether or not people enjoyed something.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of can do a point, but then you're like, it's not the only way to.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes I posted some things and like they didn't get any response, and then somebody else will have posted them, and I'll find out, and somebody will be like, yo, dude, I saw your comic. It had like 70,000 notes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they'd show it to me, and somebody else had posted it, and yeah. they gotten all these things. And it's like, I wish I had just at least known about this.
Yeah. Hard to track that stuff sometimes.
Then you're like, oh, this is a stupid idea. I'm never doing this again.
Right. And like, I guess that's another question. Like, how do you try to combat, if at all, like letting other people's response like determine how you feel about your own thing?
That's like a delicate, I think it's like a delicate balance.
Yeah.
Because you want to, because you're drawing, I like to draw comics for people.
Yeah.
Like you have to do it for yourself and other people. So you have to like strike a balance of, will people like this? Do I like this?
Mm-hmm.
Like I want people to like them.
Yeah.
I don't want to just do it for them, like these are only for me.
Yeah.
Because the point is like, to entertain other people, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I guess it is important for me. But, yeah, I guess I'd rather have other people enjoy them more.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, totally, totally valid and very honest. Because, like, yeah, it sucks when you make stuff and nobody cares, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to make something that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
Put all this work into it.
Yeah. You have to be one of those, like, insanely wealthy people that can just generate, like, garbage and be comfortable with, like, showing, you know, very esoteric things that no one gets or cares about. Mm-hmm. Well, I have a vision kind of thing.
Yeah. I wonder if some of that is, like, people lying to, like a coping thing or,
right.
like, lying to themselves being like, well, it's my vision.
Yeah.
You kind of have to justify it.
Sure.
That might be their justification to, like, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't
Who
know.
Knows? Tommy Wiseau is coming to mind as we talk about this.
He's not stupid, though. He, like, understands that his... I don't know. I don't know that much about him.
Yeah.
But I know that he's aware that his stuff is... I think he does just... I don't know. Does he believe that his stuff is good?
I think he does. I don't know, because when he talks about The Room, he talks about it as a like a dark comedy. But when he was producing it, he talked about it as a drama.
That's almost like, maybe that's just like weird sociopathic behavior, right? Where you just sort of like, you just sort of go along with whatever's people think.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess.
What is that?
I guess it's just a...
It's almost like a Carney type thing, where he's just... I don't know. He's been good at sort of like riding that, the popularity of it, I guess, and like cashing in on it at least,
yeah.
instead of just fighting back against it.
Right. He has no integrity to his own
yeah.
like self, because he is just willing to, he just wants to be like accepted by the group. So he's just going to change his opinion on his own thing.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's a fair, like, no integrity, just sort of like... She's like, yeah, it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, it was supposed to be dumb. What are you talking about? Yeah. So off of The Room, but like maybe I'll try to like stick that kind of reference in every single one of these. How do you feel getting to kind of live out this goal that you had since you were young?
I guess it's awesome.
Yeah.
One actually doing it.
Yeah.
Like, kind of it having, I don't know, maybe it always seemed kind of insane and like, well, I know at some point my dreams are going to be destroyed and I'll have to do something that I don't want to do.
I doubt it.
But then actually being able to go through with it is really cool.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy. It didn't always seem like it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Because there's tons of just like mental roadblocks and then just the physical roadblocks of other people.
Yeah. Like, financial.
Yeah.
Like I had to get help from people.
Yeah.
It, you know, so, and that's always like, I feel like worthless. You feel like I'm just wasting people's time.
I also get feelings like that. And then I have to kind of reframe it as like, this is an investment in something like.
Luckily, the investment is paying off.
Exactly.
Which is good.
Exactly.
It's always helpful to hear about other people working too.
Yeah.
Like for it working for them, being like, okay, it is possible.
Yeah.
You kind of do have to like really work hard.
Yeah.
And like genuinely try at it, I guess. I don't know. I think about that too. With like, because there are people I think that are genuinely delusional. Like, mm-hmm. like people working here who are like actors.
Right.
You know, like people who are just like terrible actors. But
sure.
like, you're like, you kind of are wasting your time.
Sure.
And you feel sad for them. But you're like, I don't know, maybe you're not if you keep at it.
Well, because it's one of those things, too, where it all just depends on if you're happy with it. Like, it doesn't touch you that you might not be great at it, kind of.
I guess so.
Which is, to me, the goal, because then you have the possibility to become better. Whereas if you, like, are just like, well, I'm a piece of crap, and, you know, then you stop yourself immediately.
Yeah. I guess it's better to just try and fail at it than...
I think so.
To not try.
Yeah.
That's why I moved here, because I was terrified of it.
Yeah.
Because, and so many people. Just so many people everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, millions of people.
There's just tons of people everywhere.
I just had this vision of, like, oh, if I live there, there's going to be somebody, like, living on top of me.
Yeah. just that crowded.
Like, it was so claustrophobic. It
yeah.
sounded awful.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, I got to do it. You got to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
There's no work. There's like less work other places. There's more work here.
Yeah.
For artists.
Even though there's like no work, there's, yeah, exactly. There's more work.
Somebody was like, if you can make it here, you could make it anywhere. But that's not true, because I can make it here, but not other,
right.
other places. It's a lot harder.
I guess it depends on what your goal is, because if your goal is to be like the number one, you know, actor, then staying in Richmond, Virginia or something might be a little bit safer.
Yeah.
Because you're being lauded there as like a commodity, whereas in New York, like, there's actors every direction you turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all a thing, too, of, like, if you care about that, like, relativity, like, oh, I'm the best actor here. That's fine. I'm the best cartoonist here.
Yeah.
But I guess going a little further on that question, like, what is... Do you have, like, a next goal? Like, what's your bigger picture dream, or are you already in it?
I mean, just being able to sort of sustain myself is, like, a dream already. So then I guess you do have to, like, reach for the next thing, which is, like, I guess just doing better at it.
Yeah.
Like, really reaching a wider audience.
Yeah.
I guess that's the goal, is to, like, I do want to have that sort of series or, like, characters, something character-based with, like, recurring characters.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Something, you know, something with, like, an impact. Even if it's not, like, to millions of people,
mm-hmm.
if it's, like, influential or, like, respected in some way, that's always kind of, like, I don't care if it's super popular, like, if it's in the, you know, if everybody sees it, because everyone probably wouldn't like my stuff anyway. But if, like, enough people like it, then I think that's good enough.
I feel like that's, like, a... almost like an Adult Swim kind of feeling to it. Like, I don't feel like the stuff on there is, like, widely talked about all the time.
No,
but people like...
Yeah, the original programs on there are not, like, you know, they're not hugely popular, but they're very popular within a certain audience.
Yeah.
Which I think is the goal.
Yeah.
To be very popular with... Or, like, popular is a weird...
to be, like, respected
yeah.
or...
I think popularity comes from respect. Mm-hmm. And like integrity, and people sort of are like, oh, I want to be popular, but they don't understand that you have to be you have to produce something like respected first.
Yeah.
And sort of be out there, and then you become more well known for that.
Yeah.
Like people, I think, yeah, I think that's what it is.
I'd say so. Because you have to have your own vision, and it's the integrity thing again, like integrity to your vision, for anyone else to kind of feel anything for it, to like, because if you just kind of go with what you think people want, what people want changes every 20 seconds, so
yeah,
you don't have consistency.
Yeah. I think about that now more when I write comics.
Right.
Is like, not what do people want, but what are they... What is, like, I think about, like, because I've had more success writing comics now. Like, I used to write comics and they wouldn't be, like, successful or funny. And then comparing those to the ones that are successful, are the ones that, like, people relate to.
Yeah.
I think where they're, like, they get that and they're, like, oh, I understand that situation. I think when people understand, I don't know, it's, like, a weird... Like, I did the fedora. I did, like, comics based on, like, a guy wearing a fedora.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, he's got this, like, really bad goatee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, he's, like, saying m'lady and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that, like, resonated with other people. Because I just thought that was something that, like, I had experienced.
Yeah.
But, like, so many other people have experienced this.
Yeah.
So I like tapping into that, those, like, shared experiences that people have. That's really exciting to find out when other people... have sort of this thing. I remember, like, seeing Wolf... You know, like, those Wolf shirts? Like,
yeah, the Three Wolf Moon.
Three Wolf Moon?
Yeah.
I remember seeing, like, Wolf shirts and, like, sort of being, like, noticing that those were, like, the type of people that wore those.
Yeah.
And then how, like, kind of weird and funny it was. And then, but at the same time, like, other people noticed that and they capitalized on it. And they came out with those, you know, Three Wolf shirts. And people were like, oh, this is, like... They like this for ironic reasons or whatever. But I was like weird to be like, oh, other people are having the same thoughts at the same time.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I just want to do that. I want to see what other people are thinking and then make cartoons.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what you're really saying is it's almost just like, it's a way to connect to people you don't necessarily know. It's like you take ideas that are in your own head and kind of test the waters and see that, like, other people... understand the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a long time I would see stuff like Robert Crumb and be like, no, the point of being an artist is so that I can be reclusive and like do stuff for myself. Then you realize like he's not like, he's probably not like a happy dude.
Oh,
and, like,
not at all.
He's like, you start to realize you're like, oh, that's not what I want to be. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
I don't want to be the guy, like, shunning the fans, being like, you're not worthy, you're stupid, I'm a genius.
Yeah, because there is that idea of the artist as some sort of, like, recluse, like, hermit person that no one understands. When it's like, you can, A, define your own self as an artist, and, like, B, do not need to draw all your art from, like, a kind of dark place.
I think, for a long time, definitely becoming a recluse and hermit was, like, a thing.
Yeah.
I remember saying that to my mom.
Yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't mind being a hermit. And she was like, but you're not religious. And I was like, I don't mean, like, a religious hermit. I just mean, like, going away.
Well, convert to a religion and then talk about it later.
Oh, well. Just,
So I guess one of my last questions is, for someone who wants to start doing what you do... Yeah. What, regardless of their age, what advice would you give to them?
I get people who ask me this through email occasionally.
Yeah.
Not like a lot. It's not like a lot of people ask me it, but they're like, you know, do you have any tips or whatever? And the more they add, the more I think about it, the like more generic and awful my answers become.
Yeah.
And I realize that, because I try and think about to when I would ask those questions, be like, oh, what do I do? Because I want to be good and I want to be successful. And you're like, what's the secret thing, person who's already there?
Yeah.
And they're just like, they give you some like thing where you're like, that's not what I want to hear.
Yeah.
They just give you some generic like, work hard, you know, do this every day. And you're just like, no, but what's the secret thing?
Yeah,
what's the thing that makes you funny?
Yeah,
They're like, no, you just have to work at it.
Yeah.
You just have to persevere and like really keep pushing yourself. I don't know. There's not, it's just like, there are things that just become like generic and like there's nothing more you can really say.
Yeah.
Can't really give specific sort of pointers.
I guess if someone is like super intimidated about even where to start.
Where if they don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Say just start doing some, like, I remember this from class. Like, you'd be like, oh, I can't do anything. I don't even know where to start. And the teacher would just be like, just do something.
Mm-hmm.
Just do something. It doesn't matter what it is or how good it is.
Yeah.
You just do it. And then you go from there and you see, try something else. So just doing it, no matter how bad it is, like, just actually doing it. Because then you've at least done something. Doing something is always better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
For art. So that would be a good advice.
Yeah.
Just do something.
Yeah.
Even if it's terrible, at least you'll know it's not that good. And then you can do something less terrible next time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And if through that process of like when you draw something or you create something and you think this is terrible, what would you say to like have someone like play in their mind when they say like, okay, this fucking sucks, to like not make them stop there?
I mean, I remember doing animations and like when I first started out, and you know, like stuff wasn't good, but you would know that there were things that were good about it.
Yeah.
Like there's always something good about something. Like, you can always find something positive in it. Like, I don't know. Like, I would do stuff where I was like, oh, at least the color was good this time. Or I'd always try and set, like, a goal for something, to do something. Like, I want to incorporate sound more or more voice work or, I don't know, more movement in some way. So that way I could do that and be like, well, at least I achieved my goal of at least sort of doing something new and trying it out.
Yeah. Putting like a positive spin on it, and it's like, well, for next time, this is like...
Yeah, you almost have to like, when you start out, you can't really... Maybe this is like a mindset where when you start out, you assume that... You have this mindset where you're like, I'm already at the top. Like, I need to be doing good work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think of it more of in like an academic sense where you're like, well, I'm just learning.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally. Well, that's awesome. If people want to find your stuff, where should they look you up?
They should go to eatthattoast.com. There's comics on there. They're in color. For anybody who hates comics that are in just black and white.
There you go.
They're in color. It's different colors there every week. you know, I have a Twitter. It's MattCZAP. You know, got a Tumblr, eatthattoast.tumblr.com. It's where I tumble all the comics as well, if you don't like going to a website.
Very accommodating.
People like doing that, apparently. You know, that's where you go to see my stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you, Reka.
Oh, super fun. Thanks, everyone. Thanks again for listening, guys. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the Little Steps podcast in iTunes. And if you want to know more about me, check out my blog at spacejam.tumblr.com or my Twitter handle at Reka L. Shankar. That's hard to spell, but at any rate, thanks again, guys, and catch you next time. We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight.